Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. I just wanted to clarify a few things, so buckle your seatbelts. Let's get started. So the first 2 things I want to clarify are related to things I said in my dehumanization episode. The first thing being that I had said that I thought there was a fallacy where, you know, one side over broadens a term and then the other side completely rejects that term's existence because of side A over broadening it. It appears there is no set fallacy related to that. The closest thing I could find is that it's related to the straw man fallacy, but it is still a problem in our politics, whether it has a name or not, where one side takes a term, overbroadens it, so then the other side completely rejects that term's existence, even in matters where the term would be accurate. And we have that with hate speech, we have that with dehumanization, and I'm sure there are other ones too, where the left takes a term, stretches it way beyond its intended meaning, so it looks like one of those earlobes that's had a big gauge in it for 50 years, and it looks like a rubber band. So then the right just says, okay, well, then that must not be a real thing at all, because they've taken away its meaning. Racism, too. Like, there is a such thing as racism. Racism is not completely fake. It's just that it tends to sometimes affect the groups they don't want you to think that it affects, like white people or Asians, and B, you know, the left has spent years calling everything racist, so then you do have some people saying, well, racism just doesn't happen anymore, and that's not quite the right answer. Then the other thing I want to clarify is that in that episode, I had said that someone who used to live in America but no longer lives there could be called an American. What I meant by that is someone who used to be a citizen and then has immigrated to another country for whatever reason. I did not mean someone who, say, came here illegally, lived here for a while, and then got deported. I wanted to clarify that because I know that could sound like I was contradicting myself, because I did say that if you came here illegally, that doesn't make you an American, that makes you an illegal immigrant, an illegal resident, someone who does not respect the laws and customs, clearly, of this country because you broke in illegally. I mean, if you break the law to come in here, how are we supposed to believe that you will follow the law after you come in here? I mean, I'm not saying that all illegals commit other crimes after they come in, but, you know, it's hard to trust someone. It's like if you step on my toe the first time I meet you. How am I going to be able to trust that you won't do it again later? That's not to say that you always will do it every time I see you. But how am I supposed to know that when the first time I met you, that's what you did? Especially if you didn't apologize for it. So that's kind of the thing here. And then the last thing I want to clarify is that the recent events, such as the assassination of Charlie Kirk, have only reinforced my thoughts on the death penalty. And I have been clear that I support it for murderers, all murderers, including abortionists. And I don't think that the death penalty should include you sitting in a prison cell for 20 years with TV and heat and AC and all that while the taxpayer pays all your expenses. And you have like 50,000 appeals. I don't think that's how we should do it. And I don't think that this painless death thing is a good idea either, because nobody else gets a painless death. So why should someone who commits murder, why should they get a painless death? I mean, that's not a punishment. That's a reward. That's a reward, because most people do die painfully. They get cancer, they get like Alzheimer's and forget how to breathe. They die in a car wreck. Like, none of those are painless. So why should a criminal's death that is being administered, or I should say overseen by the state, be less painful than the death of a sweet, innocent old lady? Like, or for that matter, the deaths of the people he killed, because all murderers, in my view, should be executed, which means we should really expand how much we use the death penalty. We don't use it nearly enough. And it's not because I love the thought of killing people. It's because that's the most logically proportionate punishment for your crime. If you have deliberately killed someone, self-defense or accidental killing can be ruled out, then that shows that you have nothing but contempt for human life. And if you have nothing but contempt for human life, then we as a society should be willing to relieve you of this thing that you have so much contempt for. I mean, as I said, I used the example of people crapping on their jobs on social media as an example of a similar concept, where if you hate your job so much, you go and post about it to the whole world. It clearly means you have nothing but contempt for that job, so your employer should be within his rights to say, okay, bye, you're out of here. And so, since I said we should not have this painless death thing, and we should not have where you sit in prison for 20 years, what do I think should happen? Well, after your sentence, you should get 90 days to appeal. That will, for one thing, encourage the judges and the courts to give these cases priority so that they don't sit there for 20 years. And two, that will make sure that criminals do still have time to appeal. Because there are cases where the wrong person is convicted. But it will light a fire under their butt, if you know what I mean. It will encourage them to speed it up a bit. Not just in the courts, but on their end too. It will encourage them to speed it up a bit, because they know they don't have a lot of time. And then what should happen on day 91? Well, we should take them outside, tie them to a tree, and leave them there. They will be completely alone with their thoughts, because you wouldn't tie two prisoners to the same tree. I mean, that's like putting two cats in the same sack and hoping they're not going to rip each other apart. Like that's not going to work. So they'd be alone with their thoughts. They would not be distracted by anybody else. Obviously, nobody's alone because God's always there. But beyond that, they wouldn't have anybody else to distract them. They would have 3 days to pray and reflect if they want to, although many of these people don't seem to want to anyway, because many of them are unrepentant. But even if they do want to, they have 3 days till dehydration sets in. They have some time. And three, it relieves all the guilt, the final guilt, off of any guard, or at least it should, because nobody is pulling a lever or flipping a switch or anything else, pressing a button that ends the person's life. They're just letting nature take its course, essentially. I mean, I understand that could, in theory, still cause someone to overthink it and be guilty because they're overthinking it, but in that case, they're overthinking it. And also, it would be extremely cheap. Instead of the taxpayers having to feed you and house you and everything for 20 years, and then having to pay for the expensive drugs and medical equipment and stuff, the only thing that the prison would have to pay for is the rope and possibly rights to a tree if the tree's not on prison grounds. They may have to pay a fee to use a little piece of a property nearby if there's not a tree on prison grounds, but usually I would imagine that there's probably at least one tree. I don't know. I've never been to a prison, but I'm sure those are both very minor expenses, I would imagine, especially compared to what we're paying now, because that's one of the arguments you hear from the anti-death penalty crowd, is that the death penalty is too expensive. Well, here's how we make it not too expensive. And I know some people will say that this sounds like a lack of compassion. It's not. It's just, this is the most logically coherent way to handle this. You'd probably have a lot less murders if we did it this way, rather than, you know, just having them go to prison for 20, 30 years, and then sometimes not even actually get executed because the court decides to put a moratorium on the death penalty, or the governor decides to just keep kicking the can down the road, or whatever it may be. So I think that this is a much better way to do it. And thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and the RSS feed. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. And if you'd like to send us an email, please feel free to do so at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support us, no pressure, but we have a Ko-fi page. So that's KOFI.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. And also, please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and feel free to come back next time. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka-Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka-Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka-Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka-Chava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.